So we continue our conversation about Amir Lenachri. What we talk about today is an issue of Remiza Lenachri, not directly instructing a non-Jew to do something for me, but rather hinting to a non-Jew. And what are the parameters of that halacha? So let's look at the Mishnah, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amid Aleph and Masechah Shabbos, where the Mishnah tells the following story. Again, the Mishnah is talking about an impossible scenario that we should not learn from today because you basically never have this case. The Mishnah says, if someone's house, God forbid, is on fire and it's Shabbos. So I'm going to end off that sentence by saying, if someone's house is, God forbid, on fire, you should put out the fire. Period. Why should you put out the fire? Because we know that can very quickly lead to a very dangerous situation because it can catch to another home. It can go more out of control than you ever would imagine. But I guess what the Mishnah here is talking about is in a situation where you know it's completely under control and it's not going to go and spread to any other property. However, it's going to burn down my house. So the Mishnah says, Nachri Shabala Chabos, if my house is burning down on Shabbos and there is no concern of Pikuach Nefesh, there's no concern that maybe it's going to spread, there's no concern that there's anyone inside of the house who can get hurt, and a non-Jew comes along, a good Samaritan comes along, and he wants to put it out. Ein omrim lo kabei ve'al techabei. I am not allowed to give him instructions. I'm not allowed to say, put it out or don't put it out. V'pnei she'ein shviselso aleihem. Which means, I'm not allowed to tell him to put it out. Why? Because that would be amir lenachri. That's instructing him to do something that I'm not allowed to do. Why do I not have to stop him if he puts it out? It says, you don't have to tell him al techabei. That means if he comes himself with a fire extinguisher and he starts putting it out, I don't have to stop him. Why do I not have to stop him?
He's doing it on his own will.
Says the Mishnah, correct, she'ein shvisaso aleihem. I don't have to make sure that a non-Jew keeps Shabbos. That's not my responsibility. And therefore, if he wants to put it out, let him put it out. Okay, says the Gemara Masechet Shabbos there, Amar Rav Ami, b'deleika hitiru lomar kala mechabe eino mafsid. Now, when somebody's house is burning down, that will obviously be a tremendous loss of money. And I'm going to be very nervous as I'm watching all of this happen and I'm helpless. I can do nothing on Shabbos to put it out. So I'm watching the house burn down. I know there's nothing I can do. So says the Mishnah, I'm sorry, says the Gemara, when you have that kind of horrible situation on Shabbos, hitiru lomar, they allowed the Jew to say out loud, kol hamechabe eino mafsid. What does that mean? Kol hamechabe eino mafsid means anyone who puts out the fire won't lose out. Now, I'm not directly instructing someone to put out the fire. I'm just making a statement. Anyone who puts out the fire will not lose out. So, why would that be permissible? Isn't that basically amir lenachri? No? So what do you say? What's the difference? What's the difference between that and directly saying, please put out the fire? I'm hinting to it. I'm not asking someone outright, explicitly to put out the fire. All I'm saying is, kol hamechabe eino mafsid. Anyone who may come along and decide to be a good Samaritan and put out the fire on their own won't lose out. Meaning I'm going to give them some money after Shabbos for what they did. Why is that permissible? Why am I allowed to hint to a non-Jew on Shabbos to put something out when I wouldn't be allowed to say it outright? Says the Rush there. If you look in the Rush of Masechet Shabbos, he explains. Amar Rav Ami, b'deleika hitiru lomar kol hamechabe eino mafsid. He says that this is something that the Gemara tells us is limited to this kind of case where one's house is burning down. We would say they would be allowed to hint to a non-Jew to put it out. The Bahag says, the same would be if you have a dam that is overflowing and you need someone to go and close up the dam in order that it shouldn't flood your house. You'd be allowed to say, anyone who comes and closes up the dam won't lose out. Now, I'm not instructing anyone to do it, but obviously the implicit meaning of what I'm saying is that somebody should come and close it up. So says the Bahag, this is something that applies not only to the fire case of the Gemara, but it applies to any major terrible situation that goes on. B'chein nira, v'chol kayotze bazeh, hezek haba la'adam pis'om, if you have somebody who has an unexpected problem that goes on Shabbos, in this roa chavish shal yayin v'holech li'ibud, if let's say I have a wine cellar, and I see that there's a crack in one of the bottles of wine, and because of that, wine's going to spill all over and ruin everything. So he says, in such a case, you're allowed to have a non-Jew come along, and then you just hint to them something, and that would be enough. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Rush, and he says, whenever I have a hezek haba pis'om, whenever I have an unexpected situation that comes up, I'd be allowed to do this trick, so to speak, of hinting to the non-Jew, not exactly instructing outright, but doing some kind of hint that they'll understand what it is that I want them to do. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting this Rush and the Rishonim, that would be something that is permissible. Look at the Mishnah Berurah in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos. Look here in number Dalet. Everyone with me? Mishnah Berurah writes in his Akdama, in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos as follows. Ach be'eze inyan nuchal lava lozu amadrega, she'yishmar Shabbos b'chol prata. How can a person ever come to a place where they're going to be Shomer Shabbos with all of the details of what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos? It's very hard. Very hard to be a Shomer Shabbos properly. Ha'etza ha'yu'utza lazeh. The only answer to this is, says the Mishnah Berurah, she'yira lezariz es atzmo lilmod hilchos Shabbos v'lachzer aleha tamid. That a person should make sure to learn the hilchos Shabbos and to review it. K'dei she'yeda ha'aser v'hamutr. That you should know what is permissible and what perhaps is not. D'ilav hachi. Because if you don't learn hilchos Shabbos, afilu im yilmod kol inyanim ha'musarim ha'vizarmim l'shmir ha'Shabbos karoi, even if I sing all the beautiful Shabbos songs and I'm going to have all the most elevated feelings over Shabbos, lo yoylo, you simply don't know how to keep Shabbos. You have to know the laws of Shabbos. You have to know how to observe it properly. Ukadeisa hadimyon kigon shekar lo hefsed piso. So he gives our example. Let's say somebody has an unexpected problem that happens on Shabbos. Again, like we said, the dam is overflowing and it's going to ruin your house. Or there's a fire that breaks out and the whole house is going to burn down. Or shemardu behemosu v'barachalam b'Shabbos. You have cattle, you have animals, and now the animals make a break through the fence and they're all running away. So would I be allowed to have someone come and fix the fence on Shabbos? Or avazim v'tarnagolim shekanazem echadash v'lo horglu v'bayis Ubarko, or you bought a bunch of chickens, or you have a pet, and now it's not yet used to the environs of your house, and now it's going to run outside, and you're going to lose it. Mama od nakelo lihi kashal beisur tseida de araisa. How easy is it for you to do the wrong thing when you have one of these situations? What would be allowed, and what perhaps would not be allowed? So he says over here, if you keep reading, he says that basically there would be certain things that would be permissible. For example, making some kind of hint to a non-Jew and allowing the non-Jew to understand on his own that this would be something that would be helpful to me. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah's bottom line is that without really reviewing the laws of Shabbos, you won't really know what to do because unexpected things happen. And says the Mishnah Berurah, sometimes unexpected things happen and we are allowed to respond, we're allowed to react by doing something or by hinting to a non-Jew, and sometimes unexpected things happen and we are not allowed to do anything. So you have to know where to draw that line. Now, what would be a practical example? Look over here. Look over here in the Chutshani. The Chutshani writes a case about somebody who goes to the hospital on Shabbos. Now, of course, if you have a situation where it seems that somebody needs medical attention, you go to the hospital on Shabbos and you don't hesitate. Now, how do you get to the hospital on Shabbos? How do you get to the hospital on Shabbos? Ambulance. You call Hatzalah or you call an ambulance. What happens if you have something that you need to get to the hospital, but it's not an emergency? So I need to be there before, like at some point over Shabbos. Let's say a woman is in labor, but the contractions are slow, and she knows she still has time. So instead of calling Hatzalah, why should you make Hatzalah be Mechala Shabbos? Maybe there are other ways. Or maybe you jump in the car yourself, and you need to do it, right? So says the Chutshani, what happens when you get to the hospital? What do you do about turning off the car? So you had a heter to turn the car on because you needed to get to the hospital because somebody needs medical attention. Now that you got there already, what heter do you have to turn the car off? So what's the answer? You don't have a heter. You're not allowed to turn the car off. Why are you not allowed to turn the car off? What?
You're ready where you need to be.
Okay, but what's going to happen now? My car's going to get stolen. Or my car's going to run out of gas. Or something's going to happen. That's terrible. So what do you do? Isn't that the same as this case here? My house is on fire on Shabbos. And like the Rush and the Mishnah Berurah explain, I have a hezek haba pis'om. You have something that is an unexpected loss that comes out of nowhere. Can there be a more unexpected loss that comes out of nowhere than this case that we just described? You have somebody who drives to the hospital because of pikuach nefesh, has to leave the car on, and now somebody can walk into the parking lot, steal my car, and that's going to be the end of it. Is that any less than somebody's house is going to be burnt down in the days of the Rishonim? My car is probably worth more than their house. No? So says the Chutshani, what do you do? Adam shi'isiyah b'mechoniso apretes la'afuke ambulance. If I go to a hospital on Shabbos with my own car, chole o yoledes le'beis cholim, v'harei asur lo lachzor b'shabbos le'beiso, v'chein asur lo lachavos es hamanoah shel hamechonit. You're not allowed to turn the car off. Im yesh chashash shamanoah yizkalka machmas kein. If you think your car is going to get destroyed or ruined or stolen because of it, mutar lomer la'akum, I'm allowed to tell a non-Jew, kala mechaves hamanoah eino mafsid. I'd be allowed to tell a non-Jew, okay, anyone who sees that my car is on, you know, won't lose out if it's turned off. Now, I'm not instructing the person directly to go turn off my car, but I say, anyone who sees an engine on and turns it off won't lose out. So that would be allowed. And he ends off, he says, Mipnei shehu bahul aleha. What does that mean, bahul aleha? It means, I'm going crazy about my car. I'm not going to be able to pay attention to what I need to do. Or I'm going to end up being Mechal Shabbos myself. Meaning if I leave my car running, it's going to turn out that in 2 or 3 hours from now, I'm going to go so crazy being worried about my car, I'm just going to go and turn it off myself. So Chazal said, the better way to deal with this situation when you have a major unexpected loss that's coming your way on Shabbos is to allow you to make some kind of remez to a non-Jew in order that you shouldn't come to do it on your own. Because if we're not going to do something to allow you to deal with the situation at hand, you're going to end up making a mistake and violating malacha yourself. Look at the Sefer Archa Shabbos. Nasa berachava aprati lebeis cholim. Umunyan lechabos es hamanah velino lesarechav. You want to lock the doors and turn the car off. Im yesham nachri, if there's a non-Jew there, yomazlo shalob derech tzivoy, you should make some kind of hint to the non-Jew without directly instructing. You should say chaval on the gas, or you should say shema yignibu es harechad. You scream out loud, oh, someone's going to steal my car. So, okay, someone's going to watch and see that obviously what you're trying to say is please come and turn the car off. Now, says the Aruch HaShabbos, one more, v'lachein im achashnal hisnatek. He gives another example. If let's say we have a emergency because chashmal is out, means we have a blackout, and I'm concerned v'amakfi malei b'motzarim yikrei erech, and I have a whole freezer full of meat that's going to get spoiled because the electricity is out. Im hachom b'chutz kavei b'ofen sha'motzarim alulim l'hiskalkel. If it's so hot in the room, and I'm afraid that because the freezer now doesn't have power, that the food inside is going to get lost, and I'm going to lose all that money that I spent on it. Mutr likra l'nachri, I'm allowed to call a non-Jew and to say to him, kol mi sheyechaber sazera machashmal l'makfi lo yafsid. So that's a practical example that we would say this would be permissible. And it's similar to the case that the Gemara gives. What does the Gemara say if I have a hefsid? If I have a tremendous loss that I was not expecting, that I was not anticipating, that would be the same, says the Archa Shabbos, as somebody who didn't anticipate that there's going to be a power outage, who didn't anticipate that they're going to have to turn the car off when they get to the hospital. Those kinds of things are exactly what the Gemara describes here. Yes, questions. Along comes the Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa, and he writes as follows, Mutter Lirmoz Lenachri Gam Beloshon Sivui. I'm allowed to instruct directly to the non-Jew, even Beloshon Sivu, Sheyasa Dabra Afilu Im Yeshba Asiyasa Mishum Isher Torah Kedei Limnoa Hefsid Gadol Berechush. I'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something for my property that's about to be lost on Shabbos Vahatam. What's the reason? Biyadua Shadam Bohul Al Mamono. Because, as we said before, people take their money very seriously. Money means a lot to us. Our possessions, our property, mean a lot to us. V'chashashnu Rabbeinu, and Chazal were afraid, Shem lo yatiru lo zos, if they're not going to allow you to ask a non-Jew to help out with this problem that I have when I'm going to lose all my money, sheva yava lasos ba'atzmo la'tzelas v'chusho. Imagine you have somebody standing there watching his house burn down. You think he's just going to stand there? At a certain point, he's going to get involved, and he's going to put out the fire, And that's going to be much worse. He's going to be violating the malacha himself instead of asking a non-Jew to do it for him. So because of that concern, says the Shmir Shabbos Kechasa, that is why Chazal allowed it. And that is why we say that this is something that would carry over to any time where you have a very major, major loss that's about to happen. And that is in line with the way the Rush explains the case before. Okay. Now, what happens in the following case? You're all in the city here. You ever been here for Shabbos? Sure, some of you have. So you're walking on Shabbos. And of course, you're such a careful person when you walk in the streets. And you would never jaywalk in the middle of a street. Of course not. You only cross by a crosswalk. But what happens when you go to a crosswalk? The car has to stop for you. Am I allowed to stand by a crosswalk on Shabbos when I know that there's a car driving 25 miles an hour, but when they see me standing in the crosswalk, they're going to have to slow down or they're going to have to stop? So I am basically the cause for their extra malacha on Shabbos. Correct? Every time they step on the gas or the brake, they're doing an extra malacha. So I am the cause. Is that considered that I am instructing a non-Jew to do something for me on Shabbos? You say no. Why not?
Because you're not asking them to stop for you. You're just waiting for your turn. Like, meaning, I don't...
Really? So by me standing in the crosswalk, that's not asking someone to stop for me?
No, meaning like, you're not verbally saying, like, stop, I'm staying here.
Right.
You're just standing there just waiting to cross. I don't think...
So would that be called remiza? Because if it is, the only time we said remiza is allowed is if it's a major hefsed mamon, if you're about to lose a lot of money.
I don't think crossing the street is that crazy, though. Like, that counts as, like, making them stop. Because they have a choice not to stop and to stop.
Do they?
Yeah.
They're going to run me over.
No, you said you're standing, literally walking in the crosswalk.
All right, so I'm standing in the crosswalk.
Like, literally in the middle of the street.
Middle of the street.
They're forced themselves to stop. I don't think they're asking.
But maybe I shouldn't be allowed to walk there.
I don't know.
So let's see. Yeah, question.
Isn't the fact that they're wearing malacha?
Yeah, but every time they press down on the gas, they're doing more malacha.
So I'm saying, like, they're already driving. Like, they're already creating jobs by driving, which they're not doing for you. They're just doing it.
That's correct.
So, like, it's not like...
The question is, if let's say they stop the car and then they have to start again because of me, that is certainly causing malacha on my own.
But you're just casually walking across the street.
That's the question. So let's see. Let's see what the Aruch HaShabbos has to say. Number test. Aruch HaShabbos writes, HaHolech b'derech v'rotze lachtzos hakvish. If you have somebody walking on the road on Shabbos and he wants to cross over to the other side, Mutar lamad al smas hamadrecha. He's allowed to stand on the edge of the sidewalk. Av shehadavar yigrom lakach. Shenahagim nachrim ya'atzru, even though that's going to cause other drivers to stop, kedei la'afsher lo la'avar, in order for them to allow him to cross. Aye, but that's basically Amir al-Nachri. I'm basically standing at the sidewalk waiting to cross, and a car who sees me is going to know, oh, I should do something because of what you're doing. I should stop. I should do a malacha because of you. Isn't that considered to be Amir al-Nachri? Isn't that an amazing question? Never would have thought of it. And what would you say? So what should the alternative be? Maybe you have to stay in your house the whole Shabbos.
Unrealistic.
Or only go to the park and don't cross any streets.
Still unrealistic. Everyone has to cross the street to get to shul on Shabbos.
Maybe you shouldn't go to shul. That's the question.
I think Hashem would rather us go to shul than stay home.
What does that say? Rosila?
Rosita.
Rosita. Okay. Very nice. So here's the question. Are you allowed to do that or not? Nire. Shamidaso shel ha'adam asvas ha'madricha eina mugderas kiremiza l'nagim sheyatru. Sharei lo asa shum ma'isa k'dei lirmaz l'nahagam l'atzar elehi giyel ha'makam b'derach hilucho v'yaman mishim shelo ha'isalo efshar as lachtos as ha'kvish. V'afim yarad ha'kvish, even if you go down into the street, v'nimna mila verbo machnos ha'machonit hanosas nire de'ein ze kiremiza. He says this is not remiza. Linahagim letzer es hamachonis gam legabe kvish shanagim bo nagim nahagim yehudim. Even if I have Jewish drivers, also wouldn't be a problem. Ein chashash. Milamad asfas hamedrichash. Dekivan sheholech kedarko ein sarach lachush. Lemasha yase mechal shabbos. It's not my problem what the mechal shabbos is going to do. Im lo mimidich salsidis v'makom she'ev sheli maneh bekal. Ach, also lasos tenua v'yado k'dei lirmos l'nagim latzor. So he says, if I want to stop on the side of the road and wait until the car stops for me, that's considered to be okay. Why? Because that's called remiza b'makom soreth. I'm not going to stand here on the sidewalk for the rest of Shabbos. I got to get home. The only way to get home is if a car is going to stop for me. The only way a car is going to stop for me is if he notices me on the side. But let's say I walk in the middle of the street and then I start waving my hands to tell the cars to stop. That would be real Amir al-Nafri. Amir al-Nafri doesn't only mean instructing with my words. Amir al-Nafri also means instructing with a part of my body. So if I wave my hands at the car, says the Arif of Shabbos, that would potentially be a problem because I'm basically instructing the non-Jew directly to do this for me on Shabbos. Yes?
Really.
Along comes the Shmir Shabbos Kachas and he says, well, everything that you've been discussing until now is the case where you have a non-Jewish driver. Are you allowed to stand on the sidewalk? Do you have to make a motion to him? Are you allowed to? Not allowed to? Okay. Now he says, what happens if I live in a community where it's Jews who are driving on Shabbos? What then? You have non-Shomer Shabbos Jews who are driving. And now he rolls down the window and says, I would like some directions to know how to get to my destination. Am I allowed to give directions to the person who is Jewish driving on Shabbos and ask me for directions to the place they need to get to?
That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound good. Why not?
You're like part of the process of him getting to where he needs to go. Like you're helping him be
Mechal
Shabbos.
Let's see.
That's
Amir al-Nafri. Right? Says the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, look here. Nahag Yehudi Mechal Shabbos. Rachmana Litzlan. God forbid you have a Mechal Shabbos, a Jew. Shenoseya b'Shabbos v'sholas hadera k'dei la'agi liyado. And he rolls down the window and he says, can you please show me how am I supposed to get to my destination? Al Yishaker, number one, don't lie to him and say, Lo She'eni Yodea. Don't say, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know where that place is. Gam lo yitin lo yad the haras the nahaga no se machal shabbos is haderech achi krova. You're also not allowed to tell him exactly how to go, you shouldn't direct him. Lahano also ulanecha yusa bodad. Aval yachalu lomarlo, you are allowed to tell him, She'eni yachal hagedlo. You can say, I know how to get there, but I'm not going to tell you. Even though the person is going to look at me and say, you know how to go, why can't you tell me? So what do? When I have a Jew who rolls down the window and who asks me for directions. On the one hand, he says, maybe I should just say to him, I don't know. I know how to get there. I'm sorry. He says, don't lie to him and say, I don't know, because you do know. There's no justification to lie. But he says, you should say to him, I know how to get there, but I can't tell you. And he's going to say, you know how to get there, but you can't tell me. Why can't you tell me? The answer is because it's Shabbos. Answer is because it's Shabbos. On the other hand, it says the Shmir Shabbos Bechasa, maybe it would make sense to actually give him the directions. Why would that make sense?
It's less driving.
If you give him very clear directions, then he's going to turn off the car sooner than he otherwise would have because he's not going to have to circle around and make all kinds of detours to get to the place where he needs to get. So maybe by giving him directions, not only am I not facilitating Chilul Shabbos, I'm actually preventing more Chilul Shabbos. Because by giving him the most efficient way to get there, I'm basically saying to him, this is going to save you from doing more malacha than you otherwise would have had to. And therefore, says the Shmir Shabbos Gechasa, it is possible that that is the right thing to do when this is the kind of scenario that you're facing with. When you have a Jew who is asking you for directions on Shabbos, how to get somewhere, maybe that would be the best way to deal with it. Yeah.